for tuning in today. My name's Frankie Mazzapica. The title of today's message is Queen of the South. Queen of the South. Let me lay a scriptural foundation just so you know where we got this, this title from. It's interesting to know, before I get into the meat of it, I've got three scriptures for you. The first one is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, where Jesus refers to a queen, but he doesn't say her name. Instead, he calls her the Queen of the South. Now, if you read in 1 Kings, from 1 Kings all the way up through about chapter 12, you will find that this Queen of the South was mighty, she was royalty, and she was incredibly wealthy because she was the queen of the land. She ruled over the land. King Solomon, when he met her, he called her dark and lovely. And now, let me tell you how they met. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1, this queen of the south, or the queen of Sheba, when she heard about Solomon's fame, and she heard of his relationship with the Lord. See, that right there, that's the reputation I hope to have when I live my life. When people are talking about me, I want them to say the relation, he's got a relationship with God. Isn't that what you want? Put your hands together. Like, so when she heard about his fame and his relationship with the Lord, she went to go see him to ask him hard questions. When she arrived in Jerusalem, she had a large group of servants, a huge group of people that were there to serve her, and she also had a grand caravan of camels. And these camels were loaded up. They were carrying spices, large quantities of gold, pure and precious jewels. Now keep in mind that she had to travel for 80 days to get from where she was to go visit Solomon. 80 days. When she arrived, she asked him every question that was on her mind. In verse 3, it says this, that when she talked with him, Solomon was able to answer all of her questions. He found it easy to explain everything. Now, when we jump down to verse 10, it says that this queen of the south, they also brought rich red sandalwood and pure jewels, precious jewels. And when the king received this rich sandalwood, he took it and he made railings in the temple. And he also used it within the royal place. And then he used it even more, even further, to make instruments like the lyre and the harp for the musicians who led worship. And so that's the foundation. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pick out three major points out of that passage. The first major point is how the Queen of the South showed up with difficult questions. She was prepared to ask difficult questions. Number two, she was prepared to make a sacrifice. And then number three, I want to talk about legacy. I want to talk about your legacy, my legacy, and the legacy that she left. What the Queen of the South had in mind is she wanted to ask hard questions that she was wrestling with. I have this rope here, and I want this rope to represent her life, the years of her life. And so she didn't want, regardless of how much power, regardless of the riches and the fame, all of that meant nothing to her in comparison to getting these questions, these religious questions answered. She wasn't willing to continue to live the years of her life without getting those questions answered. So let's just dive right into the prepared questions that she came with. She already said they were hard questions. If you have never doubted God, then you have never had faith in God. Some people are afraid of doubt. They feel as though if they doubt, then they don't have faith. I want to tell you that doubting is not the absence of faith. Faith is choosing to believe even though you're wrestling with doubt. That's faith. Come on, do you believe that? And so before she was willing to just dive in, see, some people can just dive in. I believe in it. I'm in. I'm all in. You can't talk me out of it. And God bless those of us who are like that. But then there are those that say, I'm almost in. I want to be in, but I've got some questions that I need to ask, and I can't ignore it. I'm not going to check my brain at the door. Are you with me? Say yes. I'm not going to do it. And so she shows up to ask these difficult questions. Now, we already read the end of the passage where Solomon answered all of her questions, and he found it easy. She was able to live the rest of her life for the Lord, fully committed. And I want to tell you this morning that your questions that you're wrestling with, how you deal with those questions affects the rest of your life, and it also affects your influence in anyone's life, beginning with your family, and then the concentric circle are those you live life with. How you deal with those questions. Because the weakest among us will just have those questions and I don't care. I have unanswered questions. I don't know this about God. I don't know that about God. I don't know. And because I don't have all these answers, you know what? I'm not in. That's the worst the decision anyone can make. It is the worst. Anyone. There is no decision more consequential than that one. You're dealing with your own soul. Your soul. But the people that say, I'm going after it. I'm going to go figure this out.
The other day, a friend of mine came up to me and he said, Frankie, I want to pray longer, but I don't know what to talk about. I know I need to pray more. But as soon as I start praying, within a few minutes, I end up stopping or I start thinking about other things. And he asked me, he says, how do you pray longer? And I told him, I said, I remember being in your exact same situation. And then something clicked. I wrote a new book called Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Happen When You Pray. I shared with my friend, once you know what's happening when you're praying, you will find that you will pray with more energy. You'll be able to pray longer. Your faith will rise while you're praying. One of the things that I talk about is in Psalms 56:9, it says, the very day you call for help, the tide of your battle begins to shift. When you're in a rough patch, when you're in trouble, I want you to know that when you pray, the very first sentence that you pray, angels come to your side. There's an angel of the Lord that surrounds you and delivers you. These are the things that I talk about in my new book, and you can get this new book anywhere books are sold.
I have a friend of mine. He will not commit to believing in the Lord as a Savior. I mean, I have pushed him. I have done all that I can. He's out. And the reason why he will not give the years of his life represented by this rope, the reason why he won't do that is because he has hard questions with no answers. I was sitting with him at a particular football game, and I just asked, what questions do you have? And I said, now before you answer, don't say that you don't believe that Jesus ever lived. Don't say that. You can ask the other hard questions. But there are more books of history outside of the Bible that confirm that there was a man named Jesus who claimed to be the King of the Jews and hung on a cross and died. Now, so don't argue that. Now, if you want to argue whether or not he was truly the Son of God, if he was just a good teacher, we can talk about that. But so he said, well, I'll give you that he was here. I can't argue against history. However, the only thing I will say is that he was a good teacher. That's as far as I can go. And so I said back, I said, look, you can't have it both ways. Either he was who he said he was. He came down and he said, I am the Son of God. If you believe in me, you're going to have everlasting life. You either believe that or you do not believe that he was a good teacher. Because if you're a good teacher, you don't lie. Good teachers don't lie. Liars are not good teachers. They're terrible teachers. So he can't be a good teacher and not be the Son of God. And so he says back to me, well, you've studied this more than me. So I don't really have answers for that. That's where he left it. In other words, I am not brave enough to go dig for those answers. This is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live it just happy and go lucky. That's how I'm going to live it. The years of my life. My daughter came to me a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, Dad, for the past few weeks, I have questioned everything that you have taught me about God. Oh, really? And she said, I came to the point in my life where I'm not just going to adopt the faith of you and Mom. She goes, I needed to question everything, and I started studying for myself. And I'm like, so what'd you figure out? She said, I asked every single question, and I went for every single answer, and I looked for sources outside of the Bible, and I want to tell you, I believe now more than I've ever believed in my life. More than I've ever believed in my life. And she goes, it's so crazy because I was just living, minding my own business, and I had a couple friends come up to me at school. She goes to, she's in college now, and they started asking me questions. And she was like, you're not going to believe it, Dad. It was like, she goes, I answer them so easily. See, when you're courageous enough to say, I'm not going to just keep living my life this way and make decisions on, well, I just believe. I'm going to go ask courageous questions. I want to challenge you. I really do. Because every single person in this room regularly fights doubt. Regularly. You said, everybody in this room, does that include you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I have to back up regularly and get alone with God and say, we got to deal with this. And I'll study and I'll read books. I'll read the Bible and I'll read books outside of the Bible. Don't be afraid to prepare your hard questions, because that's when your faith gets built. I want to talk now about the sacrifice. She saw that, hey, this may change my whole life, and I'm willing to make any sacrifice necessary. Everyone is willing to follow the Lord until it's time to make a sacrifice. Everyone. No one has a problem opening up Christmas presents. No one has a problem showing up on Easter in their Sunday best taking family photos. Nobody has a problem with that. Nobody has a problem until the Lord says, I want you to live your life like this. And you say, well, I'll live my life like that in this area, and then like that in this area. See, there's no sacrifice there. A relationship without sacrifice is no relationship at all. If you're married, you're with me. There's a give and take. I don't want to talk about that anymore. So she shows up and she sacrifices great amounts of gold, spices. She goes 80 days thinking about this as she traveled to go see him. It was an 80-day travel. I wouldn't travel anywhere in a car going 70 miles an hour for 80 days. Skip it. I probably can go all the way around the country. Not going to do it. Sorry. I get in a plane. I go 5 hours to Canada with my wife to go visit her family. I'm going crazy. I'm looking for parachutes. I'm about to jump out of the plane. 5 hours. 80 days? No. But the rest of her life, she had. This was a sacrifice.
I genuinely believe that the subject matter of my new book is the most important subject I could have ever chosen to write about. The title of the book is Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Happen When You Pray. A.W. Tozer once said, everyone is as close to God as they want to be. I'd love to send you a copy of our book today. You can buy it wherever books are sold.
I read of this Christian believer, and he had this experience that changed his life. And when I became aware of it, it changed mine. In his vision or in this dream, he knew the Spirit of God was around him. And all of a sudden, he saw himself in these environments that were not godly environments, and there was not godly people in those places where he was hanging out with them. And he saw that when he walked into those places that the Holy Spirit was with him. He couldn't see him, but he had the awareness that he was with him. And he felt this confidence that, wow, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me, and you haven't. But when he walked into these places and he walked around these people, because they weren't children of God, they weren't surrounded by the presence of God. They were surrounded by demons. There was demons walking next to them and around them, escorting them to places that they wanted these people to go. And when he was standing there, he saw the demons laughing at the Holy Spirit. They were looking at him, pointing, laughing, joking, making a mockery of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit could just stand there. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, that we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. We can tell. You can't fake us out. Because those who do not love other believers and live righteously, you are not a child of God. You are a child of the devil. And so when he would go into these unrighteous environments and hang out with these unrighteous people and in these unrighteous way of talking and all this kind of stuff, they would laugh at the Holy Spirit saying, you may stand there as long as you want to, but make no mistake about it. He isn't pursuing you. He's pursuing us. And look at you. You're standing there. You can't do anything at all. And they were laughing at the Holy Spirit. Look, he's following us. He's not following you. He's following us. As they just joked and mocked the Holy Spirit. When he came out of the dream or vision, he was just crying and he said, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry for taking you places where you were mocked and where you were laughed at. Let me share with you as you live your life. I hope this inspires you, and every year of your life, I pray that you not one year goes by without you thinking about what I'm about to say. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit takes different forms. Sometimes it's fire, sometimes it's wind. But in one particular place, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he represents a dove. The Spirit of the Lord comes down like a dove. And it lands on the Lord. Now, let me ask you. If a physical dove, a bird, were to land on your shoulder, a dove, and you wanted to walk through your entire day without that dove flying off, how would you walk? I'll tell you. Every step you take would be with that dove in mind. When you are living your life and the years and the days are going by, I want to challenge you. Every step you take, keep that dove of the Holy Spirit on your mind. Do you receive that? Come on. Before you say what you're about to say, before you do what you're about to do, before you adopt an emotion and anger and let it get a foothold in your life, it's okay to get mad. Just don't stay mad long. It'll get a foothold in your, and you just say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I want to be intimate with the Spirit of the Lord, and no one's going to mock the Spirit in the supernatural realm. I love Him. He loves me. And if you ever make a mistake, please don't ever forget this. The very next decision is the most important decision after you make a mistake. Because if the enemy can get you and say, well, you've already said that, you've already done that, you might as well just throw the towel in the air and just go down this spiral. But if you back up and you say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that, can't believe I said that, the next decision, I love you, I'm sorry for what I did, I need your mercy, I need your grace, and then you begin to walk forward, you begin to walk forward, you begin to walk forward, you begin to walk forward. The next decision is the most important decision after you make a bad decision. Let me go on to the very last point. The Queen of the South had a legacy. Because she made the sacrifice, because she asked the tough questions and she was courageous enough to go after it, she left a legacy so great that 4,000 years later, you and I are still talking about it. 4,000. Let me just tell you, when people talk behind your back, they're not oohing and aahing about your car, about your house, about your job. They don't talk about that. They talk about who you are, the kind of person you are. Hey, have you met so-and-so? Yeah, I met them. Boom, 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 boom. We both tell them what we think about them right there. Bang, 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 bang. And none of us go, have you seen his car? Well, maybe you mentioned that, but it's further. It's not his legacy. It's not her legacy. The sandalwood was so rich and so pure. It was such a great sacrifice that her legacy was in the temple. It was found in there, in the holy place. The musicians that played the harps were made out of her sacrifice. She didn't have to preach a word. She didn't have to lecture anyone. The only thing she had to do was answer those burning questions and give a sacrifice. And it led people into the presence of God. This is how the Lord treats you. And now I got just one last point. I'm sure some of you noticed it. There's a red tip on this rope. Yeah, this rope represents an entire life. It just keeps going for eternity. But guess what? This part of the rope is the only part on earth. This part. This little tiny part affects all of this for eternity. For eternity, forever and ever and ever, and after forever, it still keeps going and going and going.